At 24, Matt Haig stood at the edge of a cliff in Ibiza, convinced he had two options, death or madness. The idea that he might one day write about this moment, or that his story would save countless lives, seemed as impossible as reversing gravity. Yet, Reasons to Stay Alive has become exactly that lifeline for millions, appearing on bookshelves from Emma Watson's to Gillian Anderson's, credited with pulling readers back from their own edges. What makes this memoir so powerful isn't just its raw honesty about mental illness, but its profound meditation on what makes existence worth enduring. Through his journey from that Ibiza cliff to becoming one of our most beloved contemporary writers, Haig articulates what depression does. It lies. And in exposing those lies, he offers something more valuable than hope. He offers proof that the unbearable can become bearable, that survival is possible, and that the mind telling you otherwise is simply catastrophically wrong. Depression's cruelty lies in its invisibility. When Haig spent 3 days in bed, unable to sleep or eat, Andrea bringing untouched water and fruit, no one could see the inferno raging inside. You're experiencing unbearable suffering while appearing merely tired. The word depression misleads. It suggests something flat and unmoving. But depression laced with terror is a racing, spiraling mental assault. At its worst, you trade it for any physical pain because mental torment feels infinite while bodily suffering has limits. Depression warps thinking itself. You cannot imagine ever feeling better. This cognitive distortion makes it deadly. Suicide now kills more people in developed nations than stomach cancer, cirrhosis, colon cancer, breast cancer, and Alzheimer's combined. According to the World Health Organization, depression ranks among the planet's deadliest diseases. Yet, we dismiss it. We'd never tell someone with a broken leg to stop talking about it, but these responses are commonplace for depression sufferers. The stigma is especially cruel because depression attacks the very tool you'd use to seek help, your mind. You feel alone, scared to speak, while a cruel voice whispers, "Who do you think you are? You're going to go mad." Depression is like quantum physics of thought and emotion, revealing what's normally hidden and unraveling everything you've known. Haig's symptoms overwhelmed him, feeling like his reflection showed another person, constant tingling, inability to contemplate any future, fear of going mad, separation anxiety, agoraphobia, exhaustion, chest tightness, feeling like falling while standing still, occasional inability to speak, infinite sadness, disconnection, loss of appetite, insomnia, continuous scanning for warning signs, and desperate desire to step out of himself. Adding anxiety to depression is like adding cocaine to alcohol. It presses fast forward on everything. Unlike physical pain, which you can separate from yourself, with depression, the pain is thought. You are your thoughts, making escape impossible. Medication didn't work initially. During his worst period, Haig was scared of everything, literally his shadow. He'd see malevolence in ordinary objects. But what scared him most was anything that might change his state of mind. Taking diazepam would instantly trigger panic. He didn't believe feeling well was possible and feared feeling worse. Bad days come in degrees. The worst ones become proof you've survived before. When another arrives, you can say, "This feels bad, but there have been worse." After 3 months at his parents' house, Haig began experiencing brief relief in April 2000, just feeling sunshine during walks. By June, they moved to a light-filled flat with white walls and large windows. Light became essential to recovery, both literal and metaphorical, the breathing room between thoughts, between moments of darkness. Books became necessity during recovery, a Class A addictive substance. Reading provided what medication couldn't, a way to exist outside his own mind while simultaneously understanding it better. When Andrea surprised him with a Paris trip after 4 years of being unable to travel, Haig was terrified, curled in a fetal position, irrationally fearing he wouldn't be able to breathe the air there. But when she offered to cancel, he faced a choice. admit defeat, or push through. His greater fear of being totally mad overcame his fear of travel. In Paris, he discovered that simply doing something that I had dreaded and surviving was the best kind of therapy. When Andrea's mother was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in 2002, Haig faced a crucial test. After 3 years of her support, he needed to be strong for her. When she left for the hospital, he initially panicked at being alone. But something shifted. A switch flicked. He forced himself to stay, pacing anxiously. After 50 minutes, he realized he was still alive. 3 years of separation anxiety cured in less than an hour. Running became another breakthrough. The physical symptoms of panic, racing heart, problematic breathing, sweating, were matched by running, giving these sensations a logical cause. It became a great focuser, a kind of active meditation. Like Haruki Murakami, Haig found running a way of clearing the fog. The monotonous rhythm mirrored depression's internal debate about continuing when you want to stop. Travel forced his mind outward, making him feel me but at a lower volume. As Flaubert said, travel makes one modest. You see what a tiny place you occupy in the world, a liberating perspective for someone with an illness that intensifies the trivial. Each conquered fear proved the voice saying you can't was lying. Depression isolates, making it vital to know others share your struggle. Abraham Lincoln declared at 32, "I am now the most miserable man living." Despite contemplating suicide, he channeled suffering into purpose, his melancholy fueling his great work. Winston Churchill's black dog may have similarly sharpened his foresight about Nazi Germany. Depression can be a fearful gift, driving curiosity, philosophical thinking, and empathy. Though a nightmare, it sometimes fuels creative work. Edvard Munch's The Scream emerged from existential terror, while Kafka's The Metamorphosis reads as depression itself. Haig acknowledges his emotional sensitivity as inseparable from his conditions. He's progressed from constant misery to general happiness with occasional blips. Rather than fighting depression, he's befriended it. This sensitivity lets him experience life's full spectrum and feel deeply connected to art, literature, and existence. Before his breakdown, Haig escaped worry through clubs and drinking. After becoming ill, even music could trigger panic. Unable to self-medicate, he confronted his mind directly, realizing happiness comes not from having only happy thoughts, but from accepting all thoughts without becoming them, experiencing the storm without being the storm. Our world systematically profits from depression because happiness undermines consumption. Industries exploit insecurities. Anti-aging products require fear of aging. Political parties weaponize immigration anxiety. Insurance companies sell worry. Tech companies monetize FOMO. In this landscape, to be calm becomes a kind of revolutionary act. What truly matters isn't accumulation, but connection. Life is the people who love you. No one will ever choose to stay alive for an iPhone. While medication helps many, slowing down is essential for managing anxiety, which runs your mind at fast forward and takes away all the commas and full stops we need to make sense of ourselves. Practical tools include yoga, controlled breathing, meditation, acceptance over resistance, and channeling love outward to counter anxiety's inward pull. Recovery follows peaks and troughs. Things improve, worsen temporarily, then improve again. 14 years past his lowest point, depression returns in flashes when Haig is tired or anxious. The key is recognizing these as temporary states, not permanent conditions. Depression becomes an aside, something to put brackets around, with the vital lesson that the way out is never through yourself, but through connection. Simple pleasures return profoundly, watching sunrises, losing yourself in books, savoring cold beer on warm evenings, breathing rain fresh air, swimming, feeling music resonate, discovering deeper love, laughing until tears come. Depression is not you. You are the sky, vast, eternal, unchanging, and depression is just a passing cloud. The voice saying there's no way forward is the illness lying. Your sensitivity and survival prove your capacity to feel deeply, endure greatly, and emerge with wisdom that lights the way for others.